cover the 10 minute halacha shir. Just a one PS from the last 10 minute halacha shir. We were discussing last time Pidyon HaBen at night. Someone sent me an email with a passage from the Halicha Shlomo of Shlomo Zalman Orbach. I assume it's the one on Shabbos, I think. But in footnote number 59, I only see the bottom of the page. I don't know what chapter it is. It says that the Shach quotes this minhag that in general we only do pidyon b'yom, but Rav Shlomo Zalman said bizmanenu noagim liftos l'chadchila gam b'layla k'mo b'yom, that nowadays l'chadchila we do even at night. And v'chein amar pam rabenu l'kohen minechte ha'shach de'en lo lochush klal mi liftos b'layla mishum demizari da'shach ka'asi hol bizmanenu ha'minhag ha'pashut d'lokum minhag shevi ha'shach, that there was even a descendant of the Shach who's the one that quotes that minhag, who was a Kohen and who said, you know, I should really insist that the pidyon only be done during the day because I'm a descendant of the Shach. And Rav Shlomo Zalman said, nah, don't worry about it. So I was unaware of that. That's very interesting. I don't know if that's the minhag of all poskim, but that would certainly explain why some are not concerned about doing pidyon haben balayla. Okay, so let's move on now. New topic. So we're going to discuss today the halacha of eating milcha kafleishig on the same table, not you eating them both, because that's obviously asur, but same table, having someone having milchik, someone else having fleishik, happens all the time in a variety of different settings. Lemushel, you're in a yeshiva and you sit down with your lunch at the table, someone else comes and brings their lunch to the table and you're each having different things. Or you work in an office and you're having one thing to eat, someone else, you know, they have a cafeteria area, someone else brings either something of the other min, you're having milchik, they're having fleishik, or you work in a non-Jewish office and someone else is bringing non-kosher. Is that the same problem as having milchik and fleishik? Something to think about. Or you're on a chalamoe trip or something, and you're in, say, so you sit in the sukkah that they build in Hershey Park or something like that, or that they build in one of these public places. So you sit down at one of the tables with your pizza, and someone else comes and sits down with their deli sandwich. So do you have to move? Are you allowed to be at the same table? So let's discuss this halacha. There's a Mishnah Chulin Kuf Kimlin Beis that tells us that if you're eating meat, you're not allowed to have gvina on the same table that you're having meat. Gvina, of course, is cheese, right? So there are two reasons that are offered by the Rishonim. The Rashi explains that Chazal are worried that the food might touch each other, and ubolos umizun, they'll absorb flavor from each other, and then you'll come to eat it. Meaning it's going to be just hard to like build a barrier between them. Some crumbs might get, some pieces might get from one to the other, and that's going to be a problem. The Ran, and it's quoted by the Tur, says that no, you're not allowed to put them on the same table because you might reach over and grab something off of the other guy's plate. So you're eating a deli sandwich, he's eating cheese. You might just go and grab one off of his plate. The main nafkamina between the Rashi and the Ran, nafkamina might be something that's not likely to just end up, you know, getting all over the place. Like, let's say you have milk in a container, so it doesn't, you know, when it spills, you know it spills. It's unlikely for it to happen that something is going to get, a little bit is going to get mixed in, and you're not going to notice. That's why the Rashash makes an interesting deal. The Rashash says, you know, that's the first mission, parakala basa. And the Mishnah starts out by telling us that you're not allowed to eat any basar with chalav. And then it says, and you're not allowed to have on the shulchan any basar with gvina. It switched from chalav to gvina. So says Rashash, you know why it switched? Because chalav is not really a problem. It's not really going to mix. Gvina is actually going to mix because you're going to smear some cheese and some of it is going to get all over the place, or you're going to if you have like those big blocks of cheese that need to be sliced or something, so little bits of it may get all over the place, something like that. Anyway, this is the machlokas between Rashi and the Ran. Now, it seems that this whole issue is one big fat gzera l'gzera, and the Gemara already asks that kasha. Isn't this a gzera l'gzera? What would be the worst case scenario? Let's assume, like we normally assume, which is like the shita of the Ran, that the concern is you're going to eat what the other guy's eating. You're sitting there having your deli sandwich, but his cheese blintzes look fantastic. So you're going to grab one, and you're going to put it in your mouth. So what did you now do? What did you now violate? An iser derabanan. But I'll take it even a step further, what the Gemara asks. The Mishnah says, even if you're eating chicken, you're not allowed to do this. Chicken and milk in the first place is only derabanan. that you might eat milk right after chicken, an additional derabanan. If they weren't cooked together, it's only a derabanan. And now we're going to make another derabanan on top of that, that you're not allowed to eat at the same table. So the Taz on the spot in Shulchan Aruch in Simon Peches says, yeah, l'chia gavna gazrin and gzera l'gzera. In such circumstances, we make a gzera l'gzera. Requires a little bit of clarification, like what circumstances, when? When do we, when don't we make a gzera l'gzera? So that's an interesting topic in its own right. Tosfos Maseches Brachos, Daf Nun Gimel Amud Aleph, writes that we make a gzera l'gzera when you have a situation of iloha lo kaimaha, that if this gzera wouldn't be made, then the first gzera wouldn't last anyway. So that's when we would make a gzera l'gzera, or very likely we make a gzera l'gzera when things are very likely to cause problems. So Chazal are maybe allowed to make that extra harchaka when they think that the chance of a problem is very, very high. But be that as it may, this is the Isser. So some details about the Isser. The Shach teaches that although a person is not allowed to put milk and meat on the same table, non-kosher meat can be on the same table that you're eating kosher food on. Why? Because you're never going to come to eat something that's not kosher. You're not going to be in the middle of eating your gefilte fish. And then we just had a Gairus meeting yesterday, and somehow gefilte fish came up, and the woman said, I don't know, I just can't. I can't bring myself to gefilte fish yet. She's not, so we weren't sure if she's ready to be Jewish. But let's say you're having some gefilte fish, and the other person is having a cheeseburger. Come on, there's no chance that you're going to go and grab the cheeseburger off the other person's plate, says the Shach. A religious Jew stays away from non-kosher food all the time. Milk and meat are both kosher, generally. So there is a concern. You may forget yourself and you may grab something off their plate. Says the Shach, oh yeah, then what about Chametz bePesach? The Shach points out that in Hilchas Pesach, Shulchan Aruch Pasuk, like a Tshuvas HaRashba, that you're not allowed to eat on a table where there is Chametz, but no Jew would ever grab Chametz on Pesach. Says the Shach, you can't ask Kashas from Chametz on Pesach. I would have said because Chametz on Pesach, Chametz is mutter the whole year round. So Jews do sometimes eat Chametz. That's not what the Shach says. Shach says because Chametz is asr b'mashahu. A little crumb of Chametz gets into anything and the whole thing becomes asr. So you see these tremendous chumras that you have by Chametz. That's what Tosfos writes in the first daf of Maseches Pesachim, that Chametz has gewaldige chumras, even in the Torah itself, that you're not allowed to own it. And that's why the Rabbanan made dinim, that you have to search for it and destroy it. You don't find this by other Yisurim. So we have special chumras when it comes to Chametz, but the Shach doesn't point to those chumras. He just says, just the chametz b'mashahu chumra, that there's no bittul, that just a mashahu would ruin you. That's why you're not allowed to eat. You're not allowed to eat at a table where there's chametz on Pesach. So that's halacha number one relating to this inyan. That if you're eating non-kosher food, if there is non-kosher food on the table while you're eating kosher food, that's fine. There's no such gezeira. But if it's chametz and it's Pesach, that's not fine. What about a situation where you already had lunch? You had lunch an hour ago, and it was a delicious fleishig lunch, and now you're sitting down with a bunch of people who are eating pizza. And you just want to hang out with the chevra. They're all eating pizza. You're fleishig. You're not allowed to eat the pizza, but you're not eating right now. Is it usher to sit at the table with people who are having milchik? So the Badei HaShulchan quotes from a Tshuvas Beis Yaakov, who says that it is usher to sit at the same table with someone who's eating milchik, but the Prima Gadim in Mishpat Zav Zav Sivkat Beis says that, nah, you can't make another gzeirah. You know, it's already a gzeirah l'gzeirah, which bekoshi we allowed, but another gzeirah that you're not even going to allow, even when you're not eating and you just happen to have had milchik or fleishik before, come on, that far we're not going to go. And I think that's generally the assumption, that if you already finished your fleishig meal and someone else, your friends are just sitting around having some pizza, that you're allowed to sit at the table as long as you're careful not to eat what they are eating. The Shulchan Aruch mentions another halacha, that b'shulchan shesodar alavatavshil mutar litein zeh b'tzad zeh, that if it's not your table that you're eating on, but your counter on which you're preparing the food, you're you're allowed to have milchigs and fleishigs right next to each other on the counter. Less of a concern that you're going to come to eat because you're not sitting to eat. You're just preparing the food, so you don't need to have separate milchigs and fleishigs counters. You can prepare milchigs and fleishigs on the same counter at the same time. Now, there are a number of exceptions to this issur. The Gemara Maseches Chulin Daf Kuv Zayinim Beis teaches that if you have two people who are sitting on the same table and they don't know each other, then one person is allowed to eat meat and the other one milchig, the other one dairy. The Gemara goes on to say that nowadays it's only asur when it's ke'ein tfisa achas, without explaining what that means. So what exactly does that mean? So the first halach we know very clearly, that the Gemara says, strangers, people who do not know each other, there's no concern. Why is there no concern? Because the whole concern is that you might come to grab something off their plate. That is extremely antisocial behavior for a person to do with a total stranger, to grab something off their plate. And that's why Shulchan Aruch in Pechesiv Beis says, Dafka b'shnei b'nei adam ha-makirim zezeh, but achsenayim shein makirim zezeh, mutter. And that is... And that is how we certainly paskin. The Shulchan Aruch says, and if the two people know each other, even if they are enemies and they would never share their food with each other, it's still going to be asr. It's a low plug. We don't distinguish between whether they're enemies or friends. The second kula exception to this isr is when the Gemara says kein tfisa achas. A number of the Rishonim understand that it means that if you make a hecker in between, you make something to break, to recognize that something, that this is unusual, and therefore it will remind you not to eat off of the other person's plate. Shulchan Aruch paskins this as well in Siman Peches Sif Beis. Shulchan Aruch says, what would be a good hacker? Kegon shekol echad ochel al mapa shalom. Everyone eats off of their own mapa, off of their own placemat. We have such a similar thing in Hilchos Nida. When you're eating together with Ishto Nida, with your wife, and she's a Nida, you also need a hacker, and each one eating off of their own placemat is fine. That presumes that that's actually a hacker, that you don't normally use placemats and eat off of your own placemats. But if you normally use placemats, then probably just having placemats, separate placemats, is not enough. It could be argued, though, that when one person is eating a milchig, the other person is eating a fleishig, having different colored placemats, one that's a milchig, one that's a fleishig, one would work. The Shulchan Aruch writes, another example is, even if they're eating on the same mappa, but they put beinehem pas lehekera mutter. They put bread in between them as a hecker, that too is mutter. The Rama adds, if you eat from the bread, that's no good. That's not a hecker, that's just part of the meal. But it has to be something that's there just as a reminder. So this is not a bread meal, this is not bread that you're eating from. In fact, the Rama says, if you're eating milk because the other person is eating flesh, or vice versa, you're not allowed to be eating from that bread, because you're not allowed to share bread when one person is eating milk and the other person is eating flesh. The Rama says, another possible hecker is a pitcher that you drink from if it's not normal for you to have the pitcher on the table. They used to have like a bar on the side where they would get their drinks from, and they didn't keep drinks on the table. That was not so classy to keep drinks on the table. So if that's the case, that would be a hecker. The key is, you're looking for something that wouldn't normally be on the table. So it would be something that's recognizable. I used to say a cell phone, but I think now cell phones are very commonly on the table. So I would say you're wearing your Fitbit, you take off your Fitbit, you're not gaining any steps or anything anyway, you're doing the opposite. So you can put your Fitbit on the table, and that will lechora would be a hacker. Now, where does the hacker have to be? So Yalkut Yosef writes that the hacker needs to be put in between them, not on the side of the table. The whole point is, on your way to go grab the food, you'll realize that it's there. And also, it has to be something that has a certain substance or height to it. You certainly can't just put like a postage stamp or something as a hacker, or a ring or something like that. The Pesach Tshuva says that if two people are sitting very far apart from each other, and so far apart that they can't reach each other to pass things from one to the other, that would be enough of a hacker. You don't even need a hacker in that situation, because again, there's no concern that you're just going to accidentally or unthinkingly grab something. By the time you get up to go to get it, you'll realize. There are certain cases where at least some poskim hold that even with a hecker it doesn't work. Yalkut Yosef writes in Sivkan Chaf Aleph that if a person is sitting alone and eating meat, you cannot have any milchik dishes on that table, milchik foods on that table. Because, Yalkut Yosef argues, as Rabbi Yitzchak Yosef, Parm Chief Rabbi, you need like a double defense system. Number one, you need a hacker. Second, someone else who might be able to remind you, hey, wait a second, you're eating fleishigs, don't eat this milchigs. Right? That's, and if there's no one else there, it's just food sitting there, even with a hacker, not good enough. You have to remove the food from the table. You have to remove the milchik food from the table when you're eating fleishigs. That's what he suggests, and he therefore even takes it one step further, and he says, if you're eating fleishigs and there's a young child at the table eating milchigs, even with a hacker, not good enough. Why? Because the child's not going to remind you. The child's not mature enough to think of that way to be able to remind you. Both of those things are an enormous chiddush, and I don't think it's pashu pshat. And in fact, the Chachmas Adam, quoted by the Badei HaShulchan, says that that we don't have to be machmir for either one of those things. Now, there is a similar notion of a hacker in Hilchos Nida. Pischei Tshuva quotes that the Masas Binyamin in Hilchos Nida writes that, you know, the halacha is in Hilchos Nida, when you're eating with your wife while she is a Nida, you also need a hacker, even if you're both eating kosher food, which ideally you should, and you're both eating of the same type of kosher food, you're both eating melachit, or you're both eating fleishigs. But when one is eating with Ishtal Nida, you need some sort of hacker at the table. So the halach in Hilchos Nida is, if it's not just the two of you, there are other people at the meal as well, then you don't need any hacker. Then it's fine. So the Pischei Tshuva in Simen Pei Ches, Hilchos Basar B'Chalav, says, oh yeah, so probably the same is true when it comes to eating basar and chalav. One person is eating basar, another person is eating chalav. As long as there are more people at the table, that's fine. That is a huge chiddush to the point that it does not seem to be correct at all. The Badei HaShulchan points out in the Biurim, no, these are two totally different halachos. Why do you suppose it is that you need a hacker when a man is eating with his wife when she's a nida? What's the purpose of the hacker? Stop them from being romantic, right? So you know what's not romantic? When there are other people at the table. Why do you have a hacker when you're eating basar and chalav? Because you don't want to eat the chalav while you're eating basar. We're afraid you didn't come to eat it. A bunch of chever around. You ever go to a restaurant with like 10 people or whatever, like a big group? So what do the people often do? The larger the group, the more likely it is to happen. Everyone shares, you know, a bunch of dishes on the table. So I don't know. I don't know if we can rely on that kula. Even though the Pischei Tshuva quotes it, it seems very, very difficult to rely on that kula. So those are some of the halachos of eating milk, having one person eating milk while the other person eating meat on the same table. Okay.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price. This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax Live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.